Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Your love is fading.
Now, it's Jason and John's Producer Brad Sucks at Sports Gambling segment.
Brad, you suck at this.
My man Carson is the worst gambler I've ever heard, bro.
It's time to fade Brad. Fade Brad on 92.9.
All right, so can you give me the official record again, Jason, on Fade Brad?
I certainly can, John. Brad Carson, America's Square, is 30-42 versus the spread this NBA postseason. That means of 72 postseason games, he's picked against the spread. He has picked the loser, and at least against the spread, in 42 of those games. If you are fading him,
yep,
which we have said do from the jump,
yep,
we had a premonition. This would work well. Kind of thought so. We had high hopes. If you were fading him, you were hitting at 58.3% of your bets at 42-30. Brad mentioned it. His bonus bets, they're now 3-5. If you were fading those, obviously 5-3, hitting at 62.5%, a much smaller sample size, but has been successful. Well, Brad's been a little bit hot there,
yeah,
of late. A little too hot for us.
Yeah.
So
42-30 is going to put you at a unit of plus 9 units. You've profited 9 units officially.
Yeah. Yeah. So your estimate was 10, it's really 9?
Yeah. Is that because of the big, yeah.
There you go.
So if you bet $100 a game, you're up $900 throughout the playoffs. And again, this is betting every single game of the playoffs, which is just very impressive. Basically every game of the playoffs, as many as we can. Yeah. If you're betting 1,000, it's 9,000. If you're betting 10,000,
that's how up we are.
You know, 90,000, so on and so forth. So the guy is established, much like Dan Hurley, proven, brings a pedigree of losing to the table. I think at this point it's going to have to be a tradition every single NBA postseason.
No question about that.
You know, now if the Grizzlies are ever back in it, we know that Brad will be taking the Grizzlies every time on the spread. But that will just add to the bad record, right? I mean, that will just add to the.
I don't know. That would be an issue.
It's his prerogative. It's his. He can just bet the Grizz every time. It's part of the record, man. Part of the thing. He gets to bet whoever he wants. You know, Grizzlies included. So we'll bring this back in 2025. You bet your sweet ass. Game one tonight, Dallas Mavericks on the road at the Boston Celtics. The Boston Celtics -6.5 with a total of 216.5, Brad. What do you have for us?
Well, part of this kind of losing means that the research is really very low level, and we're talking about things like, can you find your FanDuel account password? Can you get to the ESPN site and how's your Wi-Fi connection so you can see what the ESPN analytics have? And in this case, they say Boston 66% in the matchup predictor. They have Boston winning this game, which is not a surprise. But we're talking about spreads, which makes it more difficult.
The great equalizer.
The great equalizer. You explained to us very thoroughly in the rundown exactly the profit margins. You got a week ahead of this if you're the books. They don't build those places on losers. -6.5. I started with the Celtics, and that's what I was thinking. And then I predicted the Mavs, and the Mavs came through for me, actually. I was really on the side of the Mavs. Now, they didn't cover every game, but I was with the Mavs. And then I thought, man, I really like the Mavs. Their two best players that are guard are better than the two best guards that are on the Celtics. That's a fact. Now, I know one of them's Drew Holiday, who's a terrific perimeter defender, so that's different. But those two are better than him. Having said all that, I flopped back, though. I happened to be listening to something, and I'm sorry for over-researching, so this is a problem. You know, you got a week in between. You hear stuff.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Somebody on this radio station said that in 2011, that was the last time, and I think the Mavs overcame the odds that year, or whoever it was. The Mavs were in the playoffs. This is after 2008 when they won the championship. That was the worst odds, and this is the worst odds for an underdog since that year, which doesn't bode well for the Mavericks, it feels like. You know, so I am rolling with the Celtics. All that to say, I'm taking the Celtics minus the 6.5 tonight, and I'm rolling with the Celtics, although I think it's going to go 7 games or 6 games at least, and be a competitive series. I am rolling with Boston tonight.
Oh, you surprised me.
Yep.
So there you have it.
I flopped back.
I thought you were doing Dallas.
I went one way, and then I flopped back, and then I went all the way back to where I started with the Celtics.
Interesting.
Guys, any thoughts on that?
Well,
on the Boston 6.5?
I think I would ask maybe your thoughts in terms of, you know, what do you see being the issue for Dallas in this game tonight?
I love at Dallas. That's the problem. But when you say 111 games, it's time. You've got to win game one if you're going to do this. You played like crap against the Pacers, and you should have handled them.
Yeah.
So I think
and you still swept.
There's a little bit of deception going on here, I feel. It's sort of like, don't pick us. You should pick them. So I am rolling. They're the better team. Look, they're loaded. It's time for Jason Tatum.
Team.
They're loaded up. They have the best perimeter defender to try to neutralize those cats. You may have a healthy Porzingis, and we'll get to that in a second with my bonus pick. Derek White is going to get paid and is also not just a terrific defender, but he's a scorer now. He's playing 32 minutes a game. You've got plenty of firepower. Jaylen Brown, who is Jason's favorite player in this postseason, has looked like an all-world player. So, although he does no left hand, but other than that, he looks great. So I'm going with Celtics. This is game one.
Both teams have.
What do you guys think?
Great cases. I said earlier in the show, if I'm going to bet this game tonight, I'm going to lean more towards Dallas in the 6.5.
And I thought Brad would be on that side.
Yeah,
I was there for a long, long time. But that number actually went down on some books. Like FanDuel had that thing like at 8 when it first opened. Like first opened,
gotcha.
It was higher.
Gotcha.
Now that might have been not released, but I was thinking it was going to be higher. Well, if you would have had that line at about, I'll be honest with you.
You're making a number here. What do you make the number?
This is really dicey.
Brad making a number here.
Gamblers making lines up. Well, you talk about low level. No, like if you saw a line that was like 8.5, a couple more points, I'd probably roll with Dallas.
Okay, so you make it Boston minus 7.5, basically.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's when you're handicapping, right? You make a number. You're like, okay, what do I think this should be?
Yeah.
I think this should be Boston minus 7.5. Therefore, I think I'm getting value on.
What do you think of that?
I mean, that's the way it works. I don't know if I agree with you, but I think that's the way it works.
Right.
I think this honestly should probably be a little closer to Boston minus 5.5.
Oh.
So I'm just on the – I'm just like I'm getting a – you know, based on form, right? Not – because, again, you're going to get in, and this is very, very nerdy, but market ratings in January, February, March, whatever, would have had this probably way out. Well, they would have had it maybe Boston 9.5, Boston minus 10. But then you adjust because – the Mavs have looked as good
as they've looked,
you know. And the Celtics, again, you give them credit for doing what they've done, but they have not necessarily looked like world beaters within that, right? They didn't have to go through the 2 seed. Every single team they played so far this series had a big injury, you know? I mean, no Jimmy Butler for the Heat. And then they lost Jaime Jaquez as well.
Yep.
Then you have the Cavs. Didn't have Jared
storm,
Allen.
Wasn't it?
Didn't have Donovan Mitchell for the last 2 games. And then obviously Halliburton for the Pacers, and that was still a back.
But to flip
series.
That around, the Celtics in their run for championships are never going to be as healthy as they are this year, even with Porzingis back. I know he's nicked up.
I mean, that's true. They're healthy.
Because
that's
you go,
part of it.
I scour the injury report as part of my research. It says,
it's a big
the three
part
words,
for you.
Three words, no injured players.
Yeah, they don't have any injured players, and that's true. And look, I would argue that the Mavs don't either. I mean, the Mavs have everybody
pretty clear.
We know Luka's banged up, though.
He's definitely fighting through, but I think, honestly, everybody's probably fighting through a little something.
I don't know about
that's
that,
fair.
But His stuff's legit.
I just think I maybe give a little bit more credit for the path that the Mavs have taken. I know that they did not play a Clippers team that had Kawhi fully healthy.
I don't care about that. They took down the one seed.
Exactly
okay,
right.
See, and the best
and the hottest team in the Minnesota, NBA yeah. in Minnesota. Yeah.
To the bonus pick now. Porzingis is listed as available. He's playing tonight, and he'll probably, I would think, they would start him. That's a guess. The number they've set for a points for Porzingis over-under is 15.5. I am going under the 15.5 as my bonus selection on the points because I just don't think they need him as much, and I think you saw that in these other games that they had.
Yeah, so, okay.
Is that your first under on the props?
I think it is.
Okay.
Yeah, because usually I've been going over with Luka, been going over with Jalen, been going over with some of these star players. This is a formerly injured player, and he's returning. I just don't see how Porzingis just comes out and scores 16 points tonight.
Man, is 15.5 high for him, John?
Not really, if you're telling me he's fully healthy. Because he's just going to take threes.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if he hits three or four, I mean, he's right there, you know?
I guess so, okay.
I mean, it's
first game back, though. Never been in past.
No, I think there's a little bit of an adjustment. What do you average in the regular season? You average 20.
More than that.
Yeah,
so,
20.
I mean, you know, you're adjusting.
Expect him to come back. And
right.
But the books think he's just going to come roaring back and score 16 points tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could also argue
I'm
that
kind of with you on that,
there's
Brad,
an adjustment down, though, right? I mean, there's an adjustment down from 20 to 15.5.
Yeah, that's
you
fair.
Know what I'm saying? So it's not like it's 18.5, but yes. I mean, that's not a bad market to attack for the NBA Finals is player props.
Yeah.
You know, those are
one-offs,
a little bit easier.
Not parlayed or anything.
Yeah,
just
exactly. Those are a little easier to beat than the spread and the total, you know what I mean?
Like, I would think, especially in game one like this, and an injured player, you know, there's going to be some money.
He's never been to a finals, you know?
Yeah.
He literally said has goosebumps. You know, so, I mean, could that translate into an under? I just feel like he's going to get a lot of shots. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's it. That's the volume.
Oh, he absolutely will. That offense, with him back in it.
Yes, they're going to lean on him.
Going to be there.
You know, also Horford unders. I don't know if those are out there, but I would be definitely looking to play some Horford unders because
interesting.
KP's going to be on the floor if he's healthy.
What do they have? I'm assuming he's like a 10.
I don't know. I'm curious. I haven't really looked.
I should look at FanDuel. I can look.
But I would definitely, that would be the way I would look. I'm not convinced, though, about really anything, honestly. Like, you could tell me that the Celtics blow them out by 15, 20, and
you could
tell me that the Mavs actually win. Nothing would really surprise me.
Here are some over-under numbers for player props tonight from FanDuel. Luka, 31.5. Kyrie, 23.5. P.J. Washington, 11.5. Derrick Jones, 7.5. Tatum, 27.5. Jaylen Brown, 23.5. Porzingis, 15.5, like we talked about. Derek White, 14.5. Let me go down and I'll find your guy. Al Horford, 6.5.
Damn.
It's already low, bro. They already factored it in.
They already listened to you.
They're ahead of you.
I was hoping for like a 9.5, 8.5.
They heard you.
Them folks ain't leave no meat on the bone for your boy.
You know what you're doing too much, John.
Damn, bro. Yeah, 6.5 would be a stay away.
You got a sharp in the house.
I mean, you're going to like trip and fall and score 7, bro.
Right?
I mean, damn.
Back.
Yeah, so I can't really do much.
Will it
with
be
that.
A close series in like we're talking about with 6 or 7 as we just kind of finishing this thing off?
I think it goes 6. That's kind of how it feels to me. I mean, I think that feels right, 6. But if it goes 6, you're kind of feeling like it might go 7 because it's be in Dallas.
If Boston I were betting 6. It's 6, you say 6. I'm sorry,
Boston 6.
Yeah,
yep. Isn't that what Drew said too?
Is that what Drew said?
Yep.
I felt really good about Minnesota in 6 though. That went the other way.
Ooh, that was. Ugh.
I don't think Boston's going to surprise us like that, though.
You know what, man? I'm going to do it. I'm going to say Dallas in 7. I'm going to do it.
They added some fun to it.
Wow. I'm going to say Dallas in 7. Just because I'm just going with the best player theory. That's what I'm doing. That's the most compelling argument I can make right now.
It is.
You know,
I like the 7 part of that bet.
Well, that's the only. I mean, this is. The Celtics are not going down quietly.
Right.
And we've done this. We did it with OKC. We did it in Minnesota. We said they got players to throw at Luka. He's going to see Drew.
Yeah.
He's going to see.
Yeah.
Going to see Jaylen Brown. They do have bodies.
Yes. I mean, you.
The thing is, it doesn't matter.
I thought Jaden would be able to fluster him. You know. And he couldn't.
No, they were better that one night, the game they won, when they switched it and Anthony guarded him. And it just threw Luka off for one game. And I told Brad going into game 5.
He did.
This will not be a switch, an adjustment that works the rest of the series.
No, and
Luka adjusted. He did this to Dort. Dort was working him pretty well. Then he figured him out. He'll figure you out. But
it
can take
some time. Dort killed Ingram.
Yeah.
Right? Dort put him in the
Dude, absolute, Dort is a great defender.
And then he got up to Luka, and he had nothing for him.
Nothing.
Now, to me, and it's often how it goes, but to me, I think the biggest thing that determines the course of the series is how it's officiated. If Dallas gets a friendly whistle and Luka's rewarded for his antics, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think they do win the series. If it's not, if it's one of those, like, patented, you're not getting the call, we're letting them play, Boston will win. I really think the whistle will determine a lot about this series. I truly do.
The cool thing is you can have Luka guarding Porzingis, can't you, on the perimeter to try to, you know.
I mean, he'll just, I don't know, maybe.
If he's not right.
Luka's got to guard somebody. I mean, I guess you might just put him on Drew, right?
Yeah.
I'm not putting him on Tatum or Jaylen Brown.
No, hell no.
No, you can't.
So I think I would put him on Drew because I'm not really worried about Drew at 30-something years old killing me from, you know.
Yeah.
Plus, Drew's going to be exerting so much defensively just on him.
I'd be curious. I mean, talking about Drew, if he's got a matchup he can take advantage of, he will. He'll hit it.
And what are you going to do with Kyrie? You probably have to put Kyrie on, you know, I don't know. It's an interesting question. Because PJ, I think, probably has to guard Jaylen Brown.
On White? You put him on White?
I'm putting PJ on Jaylen Brown.
Oh, yeah, that's PJ, yeah.
That's what I would do.
Who's Tatum got on him?
Derrick Jones.
Yeah, Derrick Jones.
Derrick Jones.
Young, long defender who can leap.
I mean, you could interchange those, but
they've been good defensively. I don't know. It's not enough.
I mean,
Boston got too many options.
Yeah, I mean, it's a problem, bro. But Derrick Jones and PJ is not a bad.
No, it's not.
It's not elite.
They've been good
athletes.
Yeah, they've exactly.
Since the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Gafford's a part of this. I mean, they've picked it up on that end.
Yeah.
I was thinking, Boston got too many weapons.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually, you know, because you got to think about, you know, Porzingis. Because Gafford is at his best when he's sort of in the interior, right, with
correct.
The rim protection. That's why they've been so good.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what you do. I don't know how you that is to me the big question mark is if, and that's why they acquired Porzingis. They didn't have that big that can reliably consistently step out and do that. Mm. And by the way,
Minnesota had that guy in Carl, and you did fine.
That's true. You're right. You're right.
By the end of it,
now,
you
Carl
had to
didn't protect the rim. I guess.
Well, and he was too inconsistent.
Like, yeah, shot like crap.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. I guess they'll, however they guarded Cat is how they'll guard Porzingis, you know, and Porzingis not nearly as good as putting the ball on the floor as Cat was.
Right.
So, you know, maybe there is something to find there.
He should have been attacking the basket more, though.
Yeah, he should.
Cat.
Yeah.
Should have been doing.
It's a chess match. Starts tonight, game one. If you're fading Brad, you will be on the Dallas Mavericks, +6.5. And his bonus pick was Kristaps Porzingis under 15.5, so you'd be on the over.
Kid or Missoula, who gets your check?
I'm going Kid.
I think so.
Give me Kid, although it's like whatever. I mean, it's like one guy's 5'10", one guy's 5'10.5", you know. but I think that I had Kid maybe 5'8 coming into this postseason.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm upgrading him to 5'10.5".
Yeah, I like that.
So it's just
love what he's done with his timeouts, resting Kyrie and Luka, extra time.
No doubt.
He's been very smart.
It should be a fun series. Starts tonight, obviously, 7:30 in the NBA Finals. All right, catch it right here on 92.5 ESPN. You guys know the drill. We'll come back. Jeff Calkins is going to join us. We'll talk to him about this, get his thoughts on Elon Musk, Dan Hurley. Stick around. Jason and John, 92.5 ESPN. Jeff Calkins is the host of the Jeff Calkins Show, columnist of the Daily Memphian, Buffalo native. And a friend to all. Joins us every Thursday, and he joins us now. Hello, my friend. How are we doing?
Oh, look who's back.
Guess who's back. Back, back, back.
Look who's back. Look who's back.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Right. You know, as I said to you sort of privately, you know, the first 2 weeks are great, and then, you know, you start to feel like you're just totally not relevant anymore, and that's a hard thing to feel, you know? That's a hard thing to feel after so many years of being on here every day. So, It's good to kind of feel like I matter again, even if I don't.
Well, I do think it's one of my fundamental theories of life is that people want to matter. As you so often point out, people want money, and that's true. But they also want to matter. Like, we want to have some meaning in our lives. And one of the great things about Memphis, I think, is that it's easy to feel like you have meaning here because people, every individual matters. You go to work and whatever it is you're doing, it feels like you're needed here. And people's enthusiasm is needed and their optimism is needed and their energy is needed. And I'm not surprised. Yeah, you feel 2 weeks. It's actually one of the reasons when I contemplate what would it be like if I just retired someday. I thought about that. I think I'd like it for about 2 weeks. And then I'd miss telling stories or miss being a part of the fray. So I totally relate to what you've been thinking the last 2 weeks. I also relate to what Jason has been carrying the last 2 weeks or however many weeks it's been. So shout out to Jason for all the heavy lifting he did while you were gone.
Yeah, it was definitely appreciated, no question about it. All right, lots to get to. We'll get it to, maybe a supervillain bringing his headquarters to Memphis. Oh. We'll get into, Penny Hardaway. But I do want to get your thoughts on Dan Hurley and the Lakers gig. Some people are trying to, as people will do, all right, this is the content business. But some people are trying to make this into some sort of referendum about the state of college sports, that Dan Hurley would ever leave, that Jim Harbaugh left for the Chargers, and now Dan Hurley leaving for the Lakers, that this is some great referendum of college sports and NIL and transfer portal and all of that. Is that fair, or is that ludicrous, given that Harbaugh left to coach Justin Herbert and was being basically harassed by the NCAA every week, and Dan Hurley would be leaving to coach the most prestigious NBA franchise in history?
Sure, I think it's relevant. As you point out, we're in the content business. But I think both things, it's pretty clear that being a college coach is not as much fun as it once was. You don't have to be a genius to know that. You just have to listen to any college coach. Doesn't mean it's a bad job. You still make plenty of money. But it was literally 20 years ago, that Mike Krzyzewski was courted to go be coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. And he said no. And Tom Izzo was courted to be coach many times, and he said no. And you saw coaches stay and linger and have their jobs for a long time and be happy in college, because in the end, when you can control your roster in college, it's kind of more fun than going to the NBA, where you are, at the mercy of your roster. And now, it's very clearly less fun to be a college basketball coach. Witness Penny Hardaway last week when he didn't seem particularly happy. Now, yes, of course, there are circumstances for both of these guys why they might leave, but. So I'm not saying it is definitive referendum. On the other hand, is it indicative of the fact? Is it go along with what anyone can see with their eyeballs, that it's less fun to be a college coach than it once was? Yes, 100%. And I don't think you have to have a big brain to see that it's less fun than it once was.
One's a pro league that's run like a pro league. Thamel said this, and he's absolutely right. And the other one's a pro league, but it is not. Is trying to, hold on to this veil of amateurism.
Who would want to have to recruit every single player every minute of every day? Like, miserable existence.
Right, the college coach has lost the power. He's lost the big man on campus, I control everything power, because these guys can come transfer on you now and ask you for NIL first thing. So it's not to say that you have all the control going to the NBA, because like you said, it's roster, but... the game has changed, and that's why we see some of the greats stepping out. I'm with you on that, Jeff. What I want to know, and I asked Drew Hill the same thing, is it smart on the part of the Lakers? Like, when you see Dan Hurley, you see the guy that's going to resurrect you and take you to championships, and we've pointed out examples of guys that it worked for, and Brad Stevens was that, but there's been an awfully, there's another list that's got Cal and Rick Pitino, and I'd put Billy Donovan on, though, although, those OKC years were good. He hasn't won a title. Is it smart on the part of the Lakers? And Dan Hurley, do you see the future of the Lakers?
I think the safest thing is to predict that this will not work out well.
Because of style. Because of his style, right, Jeff? And right. He doesn't control the roster.
Because most coaches don't, right? Right? Just literally most don't. Like unlike coaches at UConn, where most actually do pretty well lately, or a coach at Kentucky, where most do, because you have built-in advantages, most NBA coaches get fired. So I'll just go ahead and say that, yeah, he'll go there and someday he'll get fired because he probably won't win a title because LeBron's old and AD's, getting there. And so I think that's the safest bet, that it's not going to be good for Dan Hurley except for his bank account, and it's not going to be good for the Lakers if good means measured in a title.
Yeah.
Having said that, what do the Lakers have to lose here? Like, good relative to what? Rather than have J.J. Redick? Like, who would you rather have?
Man, money doesn't matter to them. I'm with you on that. Better than J.J. Redick.
Money doesn't matter to the Lakers. I mean, they print money, right?
Yes.
And even if you're paying him $12 million a year, whatever, $15 million a year, that's the pay of a, you know, mid-level exception guy in the NBA. And it doesn't count against your cap. And so it probably won't work. But if you're measuring against other possibilities, I like it better than the J.J. Redick possibility. And I think there is a chance. The Brad Stevens one is the most optimistic. Now, Brad Stevens is not wired, as you point out, to be the maniac Dan Hurley is. And it didn't, it really, the Dan, you wouldn't have predicted the Brad Stevens thing. Well, he was a coach, and now he's gone into building the team. And you can make an argument, though, that Dan Hurley, that bringing a smart guy into the program, and which he very clearly is, and, you know, people were raving about, you know, the way that UConn ran its offense and whatever. And so, I think the question is, I think he'll likely get fired. I think it likely won't work. But given the alternatives, you tell me the better one.
Well, and that's a good one. And to your point, that he can go back to college and probably call his shots. Exactly.
Right. With $100 million in his pocket or whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I heard John talking about it. It's funny, this did go. I heard John talking about the how people were on him, whatever, because of the where money factors in decision making. Like we saw this, just a moment ago with the Tigers, and whether Jones was going to come back or not. And so, I think it's fair to say that. Of course, money is a factor. If he had said, I'm going to stay at UConn because I love it here and I can be king of basketball, that would be a perfectly reasonable decision to make if money wasn't the only thing. And I would applaud that, and I would acknowledge that money isn't everything. On the other hand, if there's a giant pile of money to go to L.A. and he can always go back, I totally understand him doing that, too. I think there's a strong argument for either course that he would take. But what is sacred about the UConn job? Like, if he fails in LA, why couldn't he come back and do the same thing at, you know, at Kentucky at that point? You know, when Mark Pope is flamed out at that point, whatever. Like, he could absolutely come back and be king of basketball again. I mean, he is a guy who, even when he was turning down Kentucky or saying he had no interest in Kentucky, even then said, you know, someday, I'm not going to go to another college, but someday I might want to look at the NBA. And if the opportunity is presented to him sooner rather than later, why not take it? Take the pile of money. What are you going to wait for the Grizzlies job to come open or something? Like, why not take the Lakers job when it's there?
Yeah, no, it's totally fair, man. It's totally fair. Penny, that exchange on the golf course, how would you term it? Would you say it was telling, revealing, interesting? You weren't there, obviously, to put the icing on the cake that would have really sent him over the edge there but you certainly, I know, did see the video. What did you think?
Gabe asked me. I was on with Gabe, I guess, Tuesday, and Gabe asked me if it was just Penny wanting to get to the golf course early, and that's, no, of course it wasn't. Like, I mean, I guess, maybe he woke up on the wrong side of the bed and whatever else and just wanted to get to his golf game, but Penny Hardaway has done this every year.
Unless it's the Masters, folks. I mean, what are we talking, was he playing in?
Penny has played this tournament, you know, or whatever tournaments every year. What happens is the media goes and they meet with Penny and there's an opportunity to talk to Penny and you ask about basketball. And every single time
how it goes, exactly.
And every time Jason knows it, every beat writer knows it. Every time he talks about basketball and then he goes and plays golf and that's that. And this is the first time that they got the edict: no basketball questions. Which is preposterous. You know, he's a basketball coach who just lost his best player, right? And you're you're not going to deign to ask your Penny about David Jones. That's preposterous.
They did try, in fairness. They were like, well, how are you?
And he hadn't been at the Tigers on tour stop early in the week where they would have had a chance maybe to do it there, to your point.
I mean, it's fine for them to ask him, but then it's also fine for reporters to ask whatever they want to ask, and then he can do what he did.
Exactly.
But to not see it as some reflection on where he is in the program and where this is silly. Of course it's a reflection of his mood. Like, he has gone from all the smoke to none of the questions, right? In one fell swoop. Like, here we are. He won't answer a basketball question? He's a basketball coach. Those are the only kind of questions we actually have for him.
100%.
Yeah, what did you have for breakfast this morning, Penny? What the hell are you supposed to ask him?
What do you think of Biden inflation?
What kind of club? What's the Greens going to be playing like today?
Right.
So
what's your strategy on 16? I mean, it's been a tough one for you.
You just lost your best player. So, of course, people are going to ask.
No, it's crazy.
So
crazy. I'd have asked him about Trump.
Yeah, you got to ask.
34 for 34.
It is 100% a reflection on the bad news that they got recently. It just is, you know, and his state of mind. This doesn't mean that it's going to be a disastrous season.
Right.
Doesn't mean that. But I do think here we are, you know, whatever, 7 years later, whatever it is.
One tournament win,
you just lost your best player. You know, how was your breakfast this morning?
Right. I think it's like the evolution, right? You went from, you know, we won all the smoke in the preseason 5-6 years ago to now, right. And the state of the Penny era is he doesn't want to talk about basketball anymore.
His basketball team, which, by the way, needs to sell tickets.
I mean, right? What are we supposed to ask you about Seth Hennigan? I mean, I don't really know, which honestly, he could have just said, I don't want to do any media, which would not be much of a stray from what it usually is.
Better to have done, say, or whatever. I don't really get it why Penny couldn't have just said, listen, David Jones, you know, this is...
No doubt.
You know, I respect his decision. He was a great player for us. You know, everyone's got to follow their own path. We wish him the best.
Right, you can do that without throwing a kid under the bus, and it's done.
You only have a kid under the bus.
Exactly.
You know,
do it just the way you did it.
You could even say we thought he was going to come back.
No doubt.
Sure.
The whole thing is just shrouded by a cloud of weirdness now. You know, we got the David Jones tweet yesterday. You got the Penny's weird response where he doesn't even want to talk about it. You know, so it just kind of just lends itself to...
What did the tweet say again?
The reason why.
Do we know the reason why, Jeff?
We don't know the reason why.
We're still trying to figure out the reason why.
Well, Penny had a chance to tell us.
Yeah.
And he didn't. He opted not to tell us.
Could have cleared some things up.
I don't really know. Okay, Elon Musk, you're somebody I did not know this, but you are somebody whose life has been touched twice now by Elon because he promised great prosperity to Buffalo. You know, and they invested a big amount of money, and now he's coming to Memphis, and he's doing the same, although the upfront capital would not be as Memphis clearly learned from Buffalo's mistakes. But is there another shoe that's going to drop here? Like, what do you make of this supercomputer being built in Memphis?
I'm cautiously optimistic. I mean, I thought it was the instant reaction is this is fantastic. Like, the particularly in the climate in which we're living, where people are crapping on Memphis left and right, and the narrative you so often hear is it's a hellhole and everyone wants to come here and whatever else, the idea that Elon Musk, who can put his massive computer anywhere in the whole world, would choose to put it here, that's good news. And I think all you had to do, you go over the Daily Memphian story and read the politicians' reactions to the news. They don't agree on anything, you know. Bill Lee and Steve Cohen, right? They're all like, they love the news. So to not be optimistic and not be happy about this news seems silly to me, particularly because it also demonstrates a level of ambition and nimbleness and competence by our public servants that we don't always associate with our public servants. So I'm this is great. Now, the devil's in the details. Right. Like, we don't know. We don't know how the details of this deal. We don't know how many employees it will bring. We don't know the environmental impact it will have. We don't know any of it. And it's funny. I mean, what I really do remember very vividly is his brother, Kimball Musk, gave a TEDx talk once. And I introduced Kimball Musk at the TEDx talk. And it was all about how he was going to revolutionize agriculture and healthy eating here in Memphis by a whole bunch of inner city gardens. And the restaurant at Shelby Farms was originally run by, it was a Kimball Musk operation. And Nothing came of any of that. And indeed, if you talk to people behind the scenes who were connected with that, who had much to do with Kimball Musk during his time here, they will tell you it was a disaster. And they were having to, you know, dig out from underneath the Kimball Musk fiasco. So I am thrilled and I'm optimistic and I'm impressed and all of that. And then I'm also wary because the devil is in the details, and you don't just want to hand over everything to a billionaire and get nothing in return. So I think, you know, we'll have to see what this amounts to, what the details are here. But fundamentally, I'm cautiously optimistic. Right? Why not be?
Memphis Flyway. Have you seen the renderings? Looks pretty cool, huh?
I think it looks cool. Yeah. I think it looks cool, but that's all I know about that. Literally, I've seen the renderings, but that's it. How many people are they projecting will come?
1 million a year to come see it.
It's funny. I was talking to someone recently who was down at Tom Lee Park, and I know there's been a lot of controversy over Tom Lee Park, but the people who I talk to who use it, they love it.
It's beautiful.
You know? It's beautiful. They love it, and they use it all the time. And they were, you know, it was sort of out of commission during our festival season.
Right.
And now it's back, and people are thrilled to have it back. And so hopefully, I just think it's kind of the bad news in this city has been relentless recently. And so to have a burst of good news about a bunch of different fronts, I think is needed and a happy change. Yeah. And plus all that, and John's return. All
exactly.
that, and John's return
we
to Radio
Airways. Excited.
Thank you, Jeff.
You're the best, Jeff. Thanks.
See
you.
Yep. Bye.
He is Jeff Calkins. Joins us every single Thursday here on the show. We'll come back, wrap this up. Jason and John, how do you turn FM? ESPN.
This reminds me of DJ Burns. Remember, this was DJ Burns, like NC State Final Four run. That's what they would come out to, you know? I mean, maybe you don't remember, man, but I do. Final Four run, dog.
All right.
Didn't last long, but they got there. That's more than Memphis can say since 2009. Damn.
Now you a Kevin Keats fan.
I mean, damn, bruh.
I don't know if it was because of Shoot 360, but I'm sure if they went, it would absolutely have helped. And it's going to help you, your son or daughter, if you have a hooper in the house and they're looking to get better at the game of basketball. Take them out to Shoot 360. Get the membership. 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, all kinds of different options. And they're going to get better. You're going to see it, right? And their cardio, in their shot, in their passing, in their dribbling. Just drills, coaching. You're getting hands-on technology that NBA players swear by out of Shoot 360. 85 Market Center Drive in Carver.
John, only left one thing out. They can also improve your vertical, your physical attributes. They've got the development coaches and all the weight training equipment that you need for that too, so it's the entire game. We mean 100%, and your body as well. They're gonna have you right for that upcoming school season, but you got to put in the work in the dark. Isn't that what Josh says? So get out to Shoot 360 and put that work in. They certainly know what they're doing out there. You'll notice the difference next season. You absolutely will. We call it the future of basketball training in Memphis. The future, though, is happening right now. Go see them out at 85 Market Center Drive in Cairo.
We're back, Jason and John, Turn FM ESPN. Game one is tonight. No update on Dan Hurley, by the way.
Still just putting together that huge offer.
That huge offer. It is going to be.
Sean's like, please, please.
Right, no, there's no doubt.
Please.
But it may be too far gone. It may be, you know, Woj is not a rookie.
And as you said, he's talked to his players.
Right.
That's now been reported.
Yeah.
Like, he did say discussions, but you're not going to bother to meet with them. This wasn't super serious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a
And
consideration.
Because you clarified this for me. The 1-2-3 that he was doing in terms of championships he could win was at an UFC event last week or so.
302.
A lot of people have used that footage today to say, oh, hold on.
That was June 1st. That was just over the weekend. So
if he was contacted after, it would still make sense, right?
Yeah, I mean, he could have been contacted that
and
day.
And they don't have
after.
The offer right now,
yeah, exactly.
So it would make some sense.
I mean, Woj said it's just been preliminary.
Right.
So,
bien.
This reminds me of DJ Burns. Remember, this was DJ Burns, like NC State Final Four run. That's what they would come out to, you know? I mean, maybe you don't remember, man, but I do. Final Four run, dog. All right. Didn't last long, but they got there. That's more than Memphis can say since 2009. Damn.
Now you a Kevin Keats fan.
I mean, damn, bruh.
I don't know if it was because of Shoot 360, but if they went, it would absolutely have helped. difference. It's going to help you. Your son or daughter, if you have a hooper in the house and they're looking to get better at the game of basketball, take them out to Shoot 360. Get the membership. 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, all kinds of different options. And they're going to get better. You're going to see it, right? And they're just in their cardio, in their shot, in their passing, in their dribbling. Just drills, coaching. You're getting hands-on technology that NBA players swear by out of Shoot 360. 85 Market Center Drive in Collierville.
John, only left one thing out. They can also improve your vertical, your physical attributes. They've got the development coaches and all the weight training equipment that you need for that, too. So it's the entire game. We mean 100%. And your body as well. They're going to have you right for that upcoming school season. But you got to put in the work in the dark. Isn't that what Josh says? So get out to Shoot 360 and put that work in. They certainly know what they're doing out there. You'll notice the difference next season. You absolutely will. We call it the future basketball training in Memphis. The future, though, is happening right now. Go see them out at 85 Market Center Drive in Collierville.
We're back. Jason and John, Turn FM ESPN. Game one is tonight. No update on Dan Hurley, by the way.
Still just putting together that huge offer.
That huge offer. It is going to be.
Sean's like, please, please.
Right, no, there's no doubt.
Out, please.
But it may be too far gone. It may be, Woj is not a rookie.
And as you said, he's talked to his players.
Right.
That's now been reported.
Yeah.
He did say discussions, but you're not going to bother to meet with them.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't super serious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a
and
consideration.
Because you clarified this for me. The 1-2-3 that he was doing in terms of championships he could win was at an UFC event last week or so.
302.
A lot of people have used that footage today to say, oh, hold on.
That was June 1st. That was just over the weekend. So,
If he was contacted after, it would still make sense, right?
Yeah, I mean, he could have been contacted that day.
And they don't have the offer right now,
exactly.
So it would make some sense.
I mean, Woj said it's just been preliminary,
right.
So.